Most listeners know Shuggy Otis because of this song, Strawberry Letter 23. It would go on to be one of the big hits of 1977 in a version by the Brothers Johnson. But musicians always knew there was more to Shuggy Otis than one hit single. Al Kooper and Frank Zappa worked with him. The Rolling Stones even asked him to replace Mick Taylor when he left the band. But Shuggy declined. He had just released his 1974 album, Inspiration Information. But that would be his last album until now. Shuggy Otis's Inspiration Information is being reissued, and with it, an album of previously unheard songs called Wings of Love. Shuggy Otis, welcome to Soundcheck.
Oh, thank you very much, John. Good
now,
to be here.
Inspiration Information, that had been released once before in like 2001, right?
2001, The Walkabout.
Right.
Yeah.
This was your first album as an adult. You'd been a teenager when you had done all the previous work. Was it kind of a statement of like, this is who I am?
I suppose so, because, you know, they gave me free rein to do whatever I wanted to do. And so...
They being Epic Records?
Being Epic Records, yeah. Mm-hmm. And my father said, okay, you know, let him do it. I guess because of Strawberry Letter, because I played all the instruments on that.
Right.
And we just continued on with that formula, and they let me do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned your dad, the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, R&B pioneer, Johnny Otis.
Yeah.
You are, in fact, Johnny Otis Jr.,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
And is Otis, did your father ever legally change his last name from Veliotis?
Yes, he did.
He did. So you are literally, I mean, legally Johnny Otis Jr.
Yes.
Okay. But dad cast a big shadow. And for you to have, like, you know, a hit single and now, you know, your own recording career, how hard was that for you to kind of, you know, become your own person?
Oh, I don't know how hard it was. Well, you know, the first album... It was the first time I'd ever start singing, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And the second album, I was a little more comfortable with it. And by the time the third album came around, I had already, like, taken some private lessons for writing music and stuff. And so I was getting to a lot of different kind of things, classical, jazz, and whatnot, you know. So I was really into experimenting, exploring, writing, you know, mm-hmm. coming up with ideas. So I guess that's one of my... That style came out, you know.
So it really was kind of, you know, a maturing artist.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. This is the title track from that 1974 album that is now being reissued with bonus tracks and a whole album of previously unheard material. This is Inspiration Information from my guest Shuggy Otis. Just a little bit from Shuggy Otis's 1974 album, Inspiration Information. That's the title track. And this album, Shuggy, it took you a couple of years to make this record, right?
Well, not exactly. We started in 72 at Columbia Studios in Hollywood. And then we had to get ready for a Johnny Otis tour of Europe that started in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a break that we had to take. And then when my dad went to the offices, Sony offices in London, he wanted to negotiate the deal for the third album. So instead of a cash deal, he wanted to have a 16-track studio built in the back of our house, and which they went for.
Wow.
So that's how I was able to finish up the album at home.
Wow. Yeah. Doing all of the instruments except for the strings and the horns.
Yes, that's it. You're right. Yeah. I played everything but the strings and the horns and the harp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this was Epic Records, who, it seems, had you sort of pegged as a blues guitarist.
Right.
And now you show up with this thing that has, you know, kind of soul and jazz and all kinds of stuff, R&B. Was that – how did they react?
I don't think they reacted. Yeah, they didn't. Right.
Yeah. So this was something unexpected, but it was the music you were
writing.
That's
what I was into, you know. Yeah.
Including several instrumental tracks. Did you see yourself first as a guitarist and a singer kind of second to that?
A singer, not at first. No. Yeah. A guitarist in a backup guitarist. I played with Dad for years before I did my albums, you know, my first album. But the third one, I was coming out, my own style was coming out, so I was really interested in just to keep going on with that, you know.
Right. So there's a lot of, in addition to the actual instrumental tracks, there's a lot of care being taken with the actual sound of the instrumentation in the various songs, including you were a very early adopter of a kind of early form of the drum machine.
Yeah, I was one of the first to use the drum machine on the record.
What did you like about that sound as opposed to having, a drummer or doing the drumming yourself?
Well, you know, at first it wasn't so much the sound. I picked one up and it helped me lay tracks.
Right.
But at first, when I got it, I'd go home and I could play with it like any time I wanted to, and have my own little private drummer there who wouldn't talk back to me and he'd keep perfect time, you know. So that's how I wrote a lot of those songs, just messing around, just jamming with that little rhythm game. Yeah.
Is that how Out of My Head sort of developed?
Yes, it did. Yeah, I was playing a little Vox organ one night, late at night, and I just came up with it, the chords, and I wrote the words later.
And you wrote them all wrong, out of my head. A H T U H M I H E D.
So, well, I don't know how to spell too.
Well, you were an early adopter of hip hop spelling too. You know, where everyone spells everything phonetically.
Oh yeah, right.
This is from the 1974 album by my guest Shuggie Otis, Inspiration Information, now being reissued along with all of this previously unheard material. The album, dual album set, out on April 16th. This is the track, Out of My Head.
Out of my head, it's growing. Out of my head, it's glowing. Out of my head, 'cause I heard something said in a word from your voice. Did I hear only choice? Live out of my head, from shots that shot
from my guest Shuggie Otis, his 1974 album, now reissued, called Inspiration Information. That's Out of My Head. Shuggie, are you aware of how many emerging indie rock bands are going for just this sound now?
Not really.
It's really come around full circle.
Wow. Yeah.
And you have come full circle with this record because it's being reissued on Epic.
Right.
The label that kind of dropped you like a hot potato when you delivered it. Any mixed feelings about that?
Well, I could say this much. You know, I had a conversation with a friend who had kind of the inside scoop of why I was dropped. It wasn't just me. They dropped my dad first. He was signed as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2 weeks after they dropped him, they dropped me.
It strikes me that, if a record label is going to, drop a future Hall of Famer from their roster. Anybody could get dropped. It's just part of the business. And you know.
Well, what my friend told me was at one point when I was dropped, not only was I dropped, but all the R&B and jazz artists were dropped.
Right, and that happened again in the like around 1980 or so, where all the R&B and jazz, the major labels would just start sloughing them off. Whenever there was a dip in sales, that's what would happen.
Yeah, I see, yeah.
Now, also around this time, and I want to get to the unreleased stuff, but let's just finish up this part of the conversation. This is around the time the album comes out, and then the Rolling Stones come calling, and you know Mick Taylor is leaving the band, and they want you to take his place.
Well, not just me. They called quite a few guitarists, but they called me. Yeah, you know, Billy Preston called me, and he was
the keyboardist.
He was with the Stones at the time. I think they were in the room with him, and he said, "I'm sitting here with the Stones, and they want to know, you know, if you want to join." Now I was having a gig that night with my own group, and I was just starting to get into my own groove, you know, and so it was nothing against any of these groups, but I didn't want to be a sideman anymore, you know. I wanted to do my own thing, you know, and finally now I'm able to do it on the level that I always wanted to do it on. You know, I had a lot of bad luck because after Epic, I just went to every label you can imagine for years, all on up to the 90s, you know. I would take time off here and there just because nothing, you know, everybody would say no. There was maybe one or two that would say, you know, I'd like to do something, but we got to get you a producer. And I said, no way. You know, I don't want a producer. I just produced my last album. You know, that's over with. That's the past, you know. I knew where I wanted to go, you know. I knew that I wanted to control the show anyway. I knew that much.
We're speaking with Shuggy Otis, the singer and songwriter. His 1974 album, Inspiration Information, is being reissued on Sony's Epic Legacy label. And it's being reissued with a second CD called Wings of Love. Now, is this CD the answer to the question that people always ask, well, what were you doing all that time?
Well, partly. You know, some of the songs on this album were done while I was still signed with Epic. And you can hear, like, the difference. They're dated on the album. And so the ones that are from 74, you know, those were the ones that sound a little bit more like this album, I guess. Mm-hmm. And when it gets into the 80s, it has more of a kind of a 80s pop sound to it, maybe, you might say.
Well, there's a track called Don't You Run Away, which begins with a riff that's kind of similar to the famous guitar solo from Strawberry Letter 23, except it's kind of slowed down or something. But the rest of the song has a much, it doesn't sound like a 70s tune. When is that one from?
That was probably, that was the 80s, definitely. Yeah. So, yeah, the sound changed.
It certainly did. This is from this collection of previously unheard songs by Shuggy Otis called Wings of Love. The song's called Don't You Run Away. Don't You Run Away, a song from Shuggy Otis, which, if not new to him, is certainly new to the rest of us. It's on the companion CD, Wings of Love, that's coming out with the reissue of his 1974 album Inspiration Information. Still playing all the instruments?
Yeah, but I'm starting to feature, on the next album, I'm going to feature some new people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have a band, not a great band now, so I'm going to use some them on some of the tracks.
Right.
Well. Yeah.
So now you have the opportunity to sort of present a lot of the other work that you'd been doing over the course of those years. This last song that you said was from the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Title track, Wings of Love, this is like an epic.
Oh,
you know, it's like 11 minutes long. Was this a kind of a tale that grew in the telling, or did you set out to make a really big piece of music?
Not really. You know, I did the original version in 1980, and it has a different kind of groove. It's more of a kind of like a country and western groove. It still has the long guitar solo in it, but it's a little more laid back. I took this arrangement here, was kind of like taken from, okay, I wrote the song all but the second verse. I had my friend, Lawrence Dickens, a bass player, a friend of mine. He played with me and also my father as well. But I asked him, I said, look, I'm stumped for lyrics on the second verse. Can you come help me out? So he came over, and I played it for him, what I had. And within 5 minutes, he had the verse, the second verse. And it was so great, you know, and we recorded it, the first version. And I took that around, you know, to a lot of places and, you know, always got turned down. And then I decided to re-record it. He had done a version of it somewhere else with some other guys, and he played it for me. And it had a different arrangement. The beat was more like the one that I'm using here. So I kind of took his arrangement.
Of your song.
Right, yeah. My song.
Well, that's interesting. Well, yeah. I mean, of course, you had that with Strawberry Letter 23, where you heard another group playing your, you know, you had...
Yeah.
You had that experience of hearing your music refracted through someone else's lens, so to speak. Let's hear a little bit of this song. It's Wings of Love. It's the title track from the album of previously unreleased material by my guest, Shuggie Otis. Just a little bit of a song called Wings of Love by my guest Shuggie Otis. It is a big piece of work, and the title track from the album Wings of Love, which is the companion CD that comes out with Inspiration Information, the reissue of Shuggie's 1974 classic. He's with me on Soundcheck here today. We were just talking, Shuggie, about how... you know, you had the opportunity with this song, with Strawberry Letter 23, a couple of other times, to hear your music sort of coming back to you through someone else's, you know, experience of it. What do you feel about when you've heard your music sampled?
Oh, at first I didn't like it, but when times got rough, I started to like it, you know, because people would sample, and that was living money, you know.
Right.
So deep down inside, I don't care so much anymore, really. But I guess I'd rather not have it sampled, you know, or at the time anyway. But, you know, as far as movies are concerned, I welcome movies to sample it. You know, that's interesting. I think new movie is out that has one of my songs, and I can't remember the name of it. So other people have done it, have sampled my stuff, and... I've heard my ideas come back to me, you know, and people always like to say, well, so-and-so, you know, got this from you and blah, 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 and this person took this idea. But, you know, everybody takes ideas from people, you know? I mean, that's—who doesn't?
Right.
You know, everybody is influenced by somebody, you know?
Who were you influenced by? Your dad, Johnny Otis?
Well, he was my first influence, you know. I guess I kind of idolized him. You know, I used to look at his old pictures in his big scrapbook, and I could see his whole career from the 30s on up to the 50s, you know, all these pictures. And I suppose show business attracted me subconsciously.
Let me just, before I let you go, I have to ask this question. I'm sure it's been asked of you many times. The big hit song is called Strawberry Letter 23. In the song itself, it's Strawberry Letter 22.
Right.
Because it rhymes with you at the end of the preceding line. So why the number?
Why the number 23? Because the song is really about a boy and a girl who write letters to each other. So the 22nd letter is delivered by the girl to the boy. And so he writes a song called Strawberry Letter 23.
Got it.
You know, basically. People used to ask me, what does that song mean? And it used to make me laugh because I said, it doesn't really mean anything, you know. But if you listen to it, it means something to me now because so many years have gone by and, you know, there are things that have some kind of meaning, but they're more or less private, private things, you know.
But that's also one of the great things about art. You were talking about how everyone's influenced by everyone else, and you can take a song and you can put your own meaning to it, and it means it's just as valid as what the composer meant.
Right.
Well, Shuggy Otis, it has been a real pleasure having you with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you.
This is Soundcheck.